Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What skills are required to build loving relationships? Ron Richard is a state-licensed marriage family child therapist in Elk Grove, California. He shares from experience and insights from his journey of faith in Jesus Christ. And we pause at the beginning of our show, as we typically do, to remind you the real heart of our show is to bring you closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the one who knows you and loves you. He loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. Jesus shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. Today, the living Christ, the resurrected one, calls you to himself. He's here to offer redemption and bring restoration to your life, to relationships through Jesus Christ. Would you turn your heart, turn your life to him, open your heart and receive him as your Savior and Lord? That's our prayer. That's our hope. Ron Richard is married with 5 children. He attends Life Point Christian Church in Elk Grove, California. He graduated from the University of San Francisco and has practiced for over 27 years. This is a previously recorded interview with Ron. So join Suzanne Maurer and me in this time with Ron Richard. Hey, Ron, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in Sacramento, California. I currently now live in the county of Sacramento, California, in a place called Elk Grove, California, which is just outside the Sacramento city limits. And, of course, Elk Grove has become a city in and of itself. Now it's grown to the size where it has gained cityhood.
Mm.
And so, but I grew up in Sacramento, and I am a fourth-generation Californian.
Mm.
Who influenced you most, Ron, in your growing up years?
That's a good question, because when I look back in regards to my past, God kind of threw a lot of different people in my path. I was influenced by, you know, I had severe dyslexia as a young child. And so without really realizing it, God was putting people in my path that knew him at a fairly young age. And I had a very, very wonderful teacher at, I went to a Catholic school as a young kid, and I had a teacher that I was taken to for my dyslexia. Her name was Eunice Morton. She was the leading expert on the West Coast for dyslexia, and she was a Christian. And she was the person that actually stepped in and kind of saved me, because at that point in time, it didn't look like I was going to be able to read. And the schools had kind of written me off as being someone who was not educatable.
Hmm. So what did that put you through as a young person? What went on in your heart? What went on in your mind?
Well, I think that the reason why God led me such a, you know, I went down a number of paths that were fairly rocky and difficult as a kid. I was thought of as being retarded and a number of things. My parents felt strong in regards to that I wasn't retarded and that I wasn't someone who could not learn. But it taught me compassion. And I think what it gave me was the ability to slow down and make sure that whoever I was teaching or helping, that the empathy was there, real empathy, in regards to being very much aware of them in regards to their struggle and not seeing them as less or feeling them to be less, which is huge when it comes to teaching someone. I don't think anybody actually does well when they're being treated as though they are substandard or having less worth.
Ron, do you remember when they probably correctly realized it was dyslexia, how old you were?
I was in fifth grade at the time.
Wow.
I had gone all the way to fifth grade, and by that time I had pretty much given up. I had struggled through school. I did 4 hours of homework every night. My reward was D's and F's.
Did you see the alphabet in a mirror or upside down and backwards?
Well, I was not aware that I was seeing it or representing it backwards. The only way that I know that is that when I look at the papers that my mother saved of me trying to write, mm-hmm. that everything was written backwards,
mm-hmm.
very, very neatly backwards, but everything was backwards and upside down and so on. So I don't remember seeing things backwards, but when a child at that age is trying to learn to read,
mm-hmm.
and things are twisted backwards, their ability to learn in sequence is very, very difficult. Boys supposedly suffer most because of the developmental place that they're at is exactly when they, you know, are going to be trying to teach them to read. And so most educational programs are not equipped to actually come alongside a child that's dyslexic.
Thank you. And it's important for our listeners to realize, you know, just how difficult that was, and especially taking until fifth grade to have an understanding.
Oh, yeah. When I was a little kid, because my initials were RR, I came to know my initials, RR, as equaling the name Ronnie Retard. And that was pretty much what I was called in school for a very long time.
Oh, my goodness.
I wouldn't go through it again, but I wouldn't change it either, because I recognized that it was through that toil and struggle that God gave me the kind of compassion and insight that I needed to be able to help people like I do now.
Mm-hmm. How did you become a Christian, Ron?
Well, you know, I was sent to a Catholic school, so, you know, I knew the stories of the Bible. My mother had been raised as a Protestant. My father was Catholic. When they got married, I had a rare combination of where I heard the Catholicism end of the story, but I also heard the Protestant end of the story. So my mother was very adamant about teaching us the stories of the Bible. And my brother was very interested in things that went beyond that. He would have long talks with my father about people that were demon-possessed and so on. My brother was 8 years older than I was, but I don't think they realized how carefully I was listening to those conversations, but all of those conversations stuck with me. And my parents were both of deep faith, but it was only until later that they both got involved in what was called the charismatic movement within the Catholic Church. It was this kind of a Pentecostal movement within the Catholic Church. And they began really pushing me to attend the meetings with them, which I really didn't want to go through. I believed in God, but as I used to tell my friends, I wasn't quite that fanatical about it. But it was during that time that I was introduced to a book called The Cross and the Switchblade by David Wilkerson. And I would say that it was at that particular point in time, after I read that book, that a relationship with Christ actually became ignited within me, but I was not telling other people about my faith. I had a couple friends that I would share things that I had read about the Bible. In fact, I would come home from parties and that type of thing late at night, and I still remember experiencing a deep loneliness or a deep lack of peace. And my parents had bought me a Bible, which was an English version. It was called The Good News for Modern Man. Hmm. And The Good News for Modern Man was an English edition of the Bible. It had little stick figures in it, which was helpful for me to remember wherever I had read something. I could always reference those stick figures.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in high school, and there was a guy that I knew because I was on the varsity swim team. I actually swam competitively. It was a swimmer I swam for, Sherm Trevor, the same person that Mark Spitz and Debbie Meyer swam for.
Oh, my.
And so I was always on the varsity team. So my friends were always the senior class, and so every year I had to make all new friends. But this particular year I was a sophomore, and there was a, as I was sitting at the senior table, a guy named Dave Tora was challenged by another kid in regards to a patch he was wearing on a shirt that said, "I'm on fire for Jesus Christ." And I remember the time that when Dave responded, there was no shaking within him. There was nothing within him that moved. He was as solid as the Rock of Gibraltar. And he gave his testimony as to why he had become a Christian and who Christ was in his life. The table was completely silenced by his testimony. The guy that had challenged him when Dave lost.
A clear, bold response to a challenge of one's faith. Well, it certainly influenced Ron Richard just being there. Seeing a friend address a challenge, a question, because of a patch that was worn on fire for Jesus Christ. Well, that had a profound impact on Ron Richard. You'll hear more of his story when we come back. You're listening to The Good Life. This is a pre-recorded program with Ron Richard. He is a licensed marriage family child therapist. When you hear his background with dyslexia, being called names that scar, even today would scar, well, virtually anyone. And yet today he is helping and making a difference in the lives of many people. He's got keen intuitive skills, empathy. His craft is steeped in science, psychology, sociology, and philosophy and theology. But he's an artist, a desire to reach others. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening. listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
He says he would not change a thing as far as certain experiences that he had growing up with dyslexia. And having that disability has really, in the mind and heart of Ron Richard, as he shares in this pre-recorded program, how God was preparing him to do the work that he's doing today. And, you know, sometimes when you realize, you understand that somebody is going, has already gone through what you've gone through, they don't have to say very much. Really, it could be in some ways just a sense that you get. Maybe the way that they come across, there's a way of comfort in the way they carry themselves. Well, improving his capabilities as an artist and the desire to help others drives Ron Richard. Before our break, we're talking with him about how he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And a friend of his, at a very young age, was challenged by something he wore. And it was his response that impacted Ron Richards. A pre-recorded program. Let's go back. And I'll be back in a few moments with a few comments.
Was challenged by another kid in regards to a patch he was wearing on a shirt that said, "I'm on fire for Jesus Christ." And I remember at the time that when Dave responded, there was no shaking within him. There was nothing within him that moved. He was as solid as the Rock of Gibraltar. And he gave his testimony as to why he had become a Christian and who Christ was in his life. The table was completely silenced by his testimony. The guy that had challenged him when Dave left the table, the only thing he could say was, "Wow, I've never thought of it that way." That really shook me because I was so impressed by the fact that he was completely and totally committed to Christ, and we was all in. There was no embarrassment. There was no shyness about his faith whatsoever. And that touched me fairly deeply. And I carried that with me for probably about a month or two, and I was in another class, and there was another guy that I knew. His name was Martin Thayer. He just recently was, his life was taken in a motorcycle accident. But Martin Thayer was not one of your brighter bulbs, but he was one of those kids that put 200% into everything. And that was what impressed me about Martin Thayer. He was a person that no matter what he did, it was always 200%. He went out with us for the swim team. It was like throwing an elephant in the water. But like everything else, Martin attacked it with 200% effort, and I couldn't help but be impressed by who he was and his character. Well, we were sitting in a class, and the teacher left the room, and we had a pop quiz that I had not studied for, and I knew that Martin had because he had that kind of character. And when the teacher left, I said, "Martin, what's the answer to number 6? At which point, Martin turned back to me, and he said, "Oh, Ron, you're my friend, and I would give you the answer, but you see, I can't because I'm trying to be a Christian. I know you wouldn't understand that, but I just can't." Well, at that point, it was like being harpooned in my chair, because inside me, I was screaming that I was a Christian too, but at the same time, I knew that no one knew it. So I was essentially, I was an undercover Christian. I wanted to maintain my cool. At the same time, I was a Christian, and I realized in that moment how much of a hypocrite I was. So that week, I went to a Bible store. I looked for the biggest Bible I could find. I think I found the family edition. It was black, had giant gold letters all over it, a giant cross on it, and I bought that. And I carried it at school on top of my books wherever I went. It was my way of outing myself. From that day forward, it's been a rocket journey in regards to my relationship with Christ. And there was a place here in Sacramento that was a place called Warehouse Ministries. Chuck Smith was the person who oversaw Warehouse Ministries. It was run by a guy named Lewis Neely. But the person who oversaw it was from Calvary Chapel, and that was Chuck Smith. And I began taking people to concerts at this place because one of the people that I had talked to about God was told me that he was going to be going to a Christian concert. And I was worried for him because I thought, well, I didn't know what kind of group he was going to be seeing, but I thought I'll go with him just to make sure he doesn't get sucked into some crazy cult. And it turned out to be a place called Warehouse Ministries, and the person performing was Leon Vitello from Santana. And afterwards, they gave a call, an altar call, which I already was a Christian, so I didn't go up to for the altar call. But from that time forward, that became my ministry, was to get everybody I could possibly get to go to these concerts so that they would be influenced by the different artists and people that had that Christ had changed their lives. And that was kind of the beginning of my walk at that point in time.
What would you say, Ron, or how would you say Jesus has made a difference? Made a difference in your life?
Well, he changed everything. My life suddenly had purpose. It had a destiny. It gave me a sense of what I needed to do. Another thing that happened at that point in time is, and I have to, you know, obviously it's the Holy Spirit, but gave me a very solid and true sense that the Lord was coming back very, very quickly. And I can't put it into words. I was not a theologian. I had not read everything in prophecy, and I hadn't been coached by anybody. But I had a very solid sense that the Lord's return was very, very imminent. And so at that point in time, I felt very driven, and I mean driven, to share with everybody that I could share with who Christ was, who he was, and the fact that he was returning soon.
When did you sense a leading from the Lord to become a marriage, family, child therapist?
Well, I initially felt the leading to become a physical therapist because of my sports background.
Swimming. Right.
And so I wanted to help people in regards to swimming or to be a coach in, you know, some fashion. And so I was in business school. I went through all the different schooling, and I finally had gone through. I took some law. I was a science major for a period of time. I was a literature major for a period of time, which put me in contact with a teacher who was a wonderful teacher. His name was Forrest Beiser. He had two doctors, one in literature and one in the Bible, and I took every class that he taught, and that was in junior college. But my goal was to become a physical therapist, and the thing that turned me in that away from that was that I went to a physical therapy clinic, and the only people there were quite elderly, and I couldn't see myself doing something that was as mundane as that seemed to me at the time. If I'd had some better coaching, I probably would become a sports clinician of some form. But at that point, then I made a turn in the direction of taking law, and my final college pursuit before I went in the direction of counseling was business, because I figured that everybody needs business. Even though I didn't know what I wanted to do, I thought, well, whatever I do, you have to have a certain amount of business understanding. And so while I was sitting in the middle of one of my accounting classes, I was sitting there and I was feeling quite miserable because the last thing I wanted to do would be to be a person who just did paperwork. And while I was sitting in a class, I spoke to God and I said, what do you actually want me to do? Because I am not going to do this. And the thought came to me, what is it that you're good at? And I said, well, I've always been good at talking to people and helping people with their problems. I guess I could become a counselor. As soon as I said those words, a huge weight lifted off of me immediately, and I knew that was what I was supposed to do. So I didn't waste any time. I stood up in my chair, you know, at my chair, began loading my books into my backpack as the teacher watched. And I walked to the door with everybody wondering what I was doing. And as I went out the door, I didn't even bother to sell that book and went into the trash can just outside the door. I just hope today that the teacher didn't take it personally. But I went to the registrar's office and immediately withdrew from all of my classes and made the decision that the following year I was going to take counseling class. And that was the shift into counseling.
Suzanne, Ron is a decisive person.
Oh, I am sitting here saying, oh, Lord, if only you would speak so clearly to me and to all of us, and then that we would have the courage and strength to take action.
Certainly was action taken by Ron Richard. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer. You're listening to a pre-recorded interview with Ron Richard. Ron is a licensed child, family, marriage and family therapist in Elk Grove, California, and with a special love and care for children. And when we come back from our break, you'll hear more from Ron. Hey, if you're tuning in right now, or maybe you caught the tail end of the last segment, you know, you can get this program in its entirety as a gift. Just go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. When we come back, more from Ron Richard. You know, his commitment is to conceive the most effective treatment plan for his clients, his patients, assisting in creating a scaffold for healing. I like that concept. Scaffold for healing, allowing you to maximize your forward movement and future happiness. He's experienced the love of God. He's seen bold faith. And he's here sharing in this program today with you. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Yamashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Yamashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Why were we all laughing? What was it that made us chuckle with such a, in such an instinctive way is because of someone's definitive move after hearing from the Lord, a move of faith that really took him in a completely new direction, and now he's helping people. Well, new in the sense that he was already helping, but maybe I should just say it was much clearer. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here. Suzanne Maurer is my co-host in this pre-recorded radio program with Ron Richard. Sit back, enjoy, open your heart to what the Lord is saying to you in this moment of your life. More with Ron Richard. Listen.
So clearly to me and to all of us, and then that we would have the courage and strength to take action.
In
well,
your practice,
I think that the action part of it was you know, started to be welded into me back when, you know, I was sitting at the table with that person named Bay Toratora. Mm-hmm. And my understanding, he's a pastor today, although he does not know, unless he's listening or will listen to this interview, what influence he had in passing that he never knew that he actually had, simply by being bold in regards to his faith.
Mm-hmm.
But I made the decision after, you know, Martin Thayer and so on to be all in, and that was how I outed myself, was my giant Bible that I carried everywhere.
How have the needs of clients, your clients, trends, like what do the trends say? So couples, children, individuals, how have things changed over the last three decades?
Well, we're living in a time, as what everybody does well know, where the idea of a one man, one woman, the what would be considered something that is more of a historical relationship between men and women and so on, is being challenged from every direction. And so I get couples that are coming in, and it's not uncommon for couples to come in that have been living together for some time, whether that was the beginning and genesis of their relationship and so on. So, you know, I'm always looking for a way to connect them to the real reason that they're married. Marriage is a huge centerpiece of what the Bible was about. It's about we, mankind, ultimately the bride, ultimately coming into the relationship with her groom, which is Christ. And there are a zillion different lessons and earmarks as to handle a relationship the right way. And if a couple is actually pursuing a relationship where I call it destination psychology is the idea that we're going to arrive at something, someone, fame, some particular thing that would finally establish once and for all a person's worth and sense of belonging. And people are doing that within their relationships. They're trying to achieve that sense of being happy through their marriage. Now, what they don't realize is that within Sweden, they say that marriage is not two people staring at each other, it's two people staring in the same direction. Well, if I was going to add one more piece to that, it's two people staring in the direction of Christ, if it's really going to be all that it was designed to be. Because, as you recall, you know, it refers to us as, you know, having to pass through a crucible. Well, marriage is that crucible. It's a very hot fire. And what I tell my clients all the time, I said, do you know what a crucible is? And they'll say no. And I said, well, when they're purifying gold, they put it in a crucible, which can be heated to incredible temperatures. So hot that it'll burn away everything but the gold, because gold, being the unique metal that it is, it's not possible to burn it. But most things are able to be burned. Most metals are able to burn at a high enough temperature. Theoretically, if you can keep gold hot enough, it will become translucent, so pure. Which is interesting that in heaven it says that the streets, things made of gold, are translucent. But it compares us to that same purifying process of walking through the fire. Well, marriage, in a lot of ways, is a purifying fire, because if anybody's ever been married, it's a very hot fire. And the only way that that marriage actually can work is that each person has to kind of put themselves on the altar and sacrifice their selfish intentions, their selfish needs, to the needs of the other person. And if both people are willing to do that, suddenly the journey becomes very doable, possible, and their focus is in the right direction as to what the relationship is really all about. It's two people standing side by side, helping each other on a very long, lonely, miserable, stinking journey we call the journey of the soul. Ideally, if both people are standing side by side and have fully embraced the role of making sure that the other person makes it, the relationship becomes everything it was ever designed to be. It's designed to purge out selfishness and self-centeredness.
Societal changes. When a couple, for example, goes through the crucible, the purifying process. How about when, you know, your work with individuals, or more specifically with children, society's changes over the last 2-3 decades, how has it affected individuals and young people?
Well, you know that we are at a juncture where children are being given information well beyond their sophistication, mm-hmm. well beyond their years in regards to being able to decide one way or the other. And so, unfortunately, children are being handed things that are a level of complexity that should never be in there, should never be something they have to think about. And I think that, you know, obviously, if you have to introduce porn into the world on a level that, you know, is pretty extreme. And, of course, you know, the idea of where sex lands in a relationship and so on has been challenged. Of course, you know, what ends up happening is, of course, the damage is it being in the wrong place. In fact, what I usually do with couples is I'll explain it this way, because my goal is for them not to feel shame as much as my goal is for them to have what I call an aha experience, where they realize, so that's what it's for. So what I tell them is that my job is to be like the toaster fixer. My job is for people to bring their broken toasters to me and for me to fix them. So they bring their broken toaster in, and of course they feel as though their toaster has no value because it's broken. And so I take their toaster and I put it on the desk, and I push the plunger down, and I wait, watch the timer. Sure enough, it springs back. Say, well, the timer's working. I push it down again, lean forward, and look at the elements and watch it heat up. Well, the element's working. Well, let's go for the acid test. Let's put some bread in this thing. So we put bread, and then bingo, we get toast. I say, well, what's wrong with it? It seems to be working fine. No, you don't understand, Ron. We tried to dry our socks with it today. It burned the heck out of them. We tried to cook a steak in it. All it did was burn the outside. The inside was raw. It's worse with vegetables. He said, in the same way, this is what's happening with sex in our society, is that they're taking it outside of its original design parameter. As a result, they're ending up with all sorts of spin-off problems. Children oftentimes are the victim of those spin-off problems, both familially, as far as the home breaking down, children being exposed to sexual dynamics within their families and outside their families that are in advance of their ability to even understand what they're supposed to be using their toaster for. And so it's a process of trying to put people in touch with reason and the instructor's manual in regards to what their toast is for and how to use it so that the results are good, are a blessing to their lives, not a curse, not something that steals their joy. And I tell people all the time, God's the one that invented sex, so obviously he's not against it. But there is a right time and a right place and a right person. Kind of brings me back to a time when I came home, my last two, which are my twins, my daughters, were out in the kitchen with their mother, and as I got home, I was changing out of my clothes, and suddenly I heard all sorts of screaming coming from the kitchen. And I went out there, and my daughters were crying, and my wife was screaming, and I got just enough of the story to find out that the story was that a boy down the street had told them that he had seen on his father's computer a girl giving someone oral sex. Well, of course, with little kids, you can imagine, you know, for them, that's shock power. They, you know, they never even heard of such a thing. So, of course, as kids will, they kept it secret. They just whispered it amongst each other. Well, they had shared it with their cousin, who was my sister's son. And apparently the visual imagery that created in his mind was too much for him, and he melted down and told his mother. And so my sister immediately called my wife to ask what the heck was going on over at my house. And the screaming began as my daughters realized, oh my gosh, we are in such deep trouble. We've related the dirtiest story we can possibly relate. And so they were all screaming. So I got out to the kitchen, and when I figured out what was going wrong, before it could go any further, I had everybody go out in the front room. And I said, girls, I have a question for both of you. Is fire bad? And they both said, yes, fire is bad. Now, I could have said anything at that point, and it would have been bad. Yes, fire is bad. I said, really? I said, even when we have a fire in the fireplace? And I said, you do realize fire is just fire. It's a fire in the fireplace, it's warm, and it feels good and looks cool. We could cook our dinner with it if we wanted to. It keeps us warm. That's bad. And they said, well, no, that's good. And they said, well, what if I thought that fire was so cool?
The way that Ron Richards explains this this maze of a topic, so sensitive that it makes his daughters scream. Well, it may make you squirm a little bit as you hear it, as you think about what was taking place. Perhaps it will aid you in processing or even explaining situations and scenarios that are quite difficult to describe, to convey. When we come back from our break, more from Ron Richard. He's a counselor, marriage, family therapist, marriage, family, child therapist in Elk Grove, California. This is a pre-recorded interview with Ron. Suzanne Maurer and I enjoyed our time with him, but he has a way, as you can hear, of conveying some very hot topics in both a serious and a smooth way that enables us to understand, embrace, and maybe even share with others, as we're sharing with you today. More from Ron Richard when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Ron Richard is married. He has five children. He attends Life Point Christian Church in Elk Grove, California. Graduated from the University of San Francisco and has practiced for over 27 years. He's a state licensed marriage and marriage family child therapist. You're listening to the Good Life Radio program. Danny Yamashiro here, Suzanne Maurer, my co-host, in this pre-recorded interview with Ron Richard. He's touching on a very difficult subject, his daughter's screaming, his wife screaming, and he explains the situation, a parallel with a fire. Here's Ron Richard. Open your heart to what the Lord has to say.
Even when we have a fire in the fireplace, and I said, you do realize fire's just fire. It's a fire in the fireplace, it's warm, and it feels good, and looks cool. We could cook our dinner with it if we wanted to. It keeps us warm. That's bad. And he said, well, no, that's good. And he said, well, what if I thought that fire was so cool? So I said, let's put it on the couch. And they said, no, you can't do that. I said, why? A bigger fire. And they said, it'll catch the couch on fire. And he said, bigger fire still. And he said, no, it's bad. I said, why? And they said, because it'll burn the house down. I said, oh. So what you guys are saying is this. There's a right time and a right place for fire. And they said, yes. I said, so in the fireplace, it's a good thing. On the couch, it'll burn the house down. I said, I have another question. Is sex bad? Oh, yes, sex is terrible. Oh, it's bad. And I said, no, sex is just sex. I said, you know, God's the one that made sex. And they still were not convinced. And I said, you do realize that the only way that people are born is that someone has to have sex. You do realize that your mother and I would have to have sex for you guys to be born. At this point, I think they were plugging their ears and singing Jingle Bells. If you want to hear that. Anyway, and I said, you know, explained how it's a good thing that they were born and how different people were born and that God loved every single one of them. No matter what, no matter who they were. And they said, well, okay, it's a good thing. I said, okay, well, what if I thought that sex was so good that, you know, Margie down the street, she's kind of cute. I think I'll go down and share some sex with her. And both of them, being little girls, they both put their hands on their hips and they said, you better not. I said, well, why not? I thought we established that sex is a good thing. And they said, bad things will happen. I said, well, what? They said, well, Mom will be really angry at you, and you could have a baby with her, and then you wouldn't be able to be here, and it would cause all sorts of problems. I said, oh. So what you guys are saying is that sex with the wrong person in the wrong place at the wrong time is not a good thing. And they said, yes. I said, but sex with the right person, the wrong place, the right place at the right time is good. They said, yes. Oh, so sex in the fireplace? They said, it's a good thing. Sex on the couch? It'll burn the house down. They got the cross metaphor. I didn't realize how much that had affected them, but later in their years, as you know, teen years, and when they were in their 20s, I would hear them talking to their friends, giving that very analogy to their friends. Mm-hmm. But those are the kind of things that when you're working with children or this type of thing, is that you're always in the place of trying to shed light on it. And I rely on the Holy Spirit to give me that wisdom, because wisdom only comes from God, to help people to see what is correct, what is why it's right, how to do it, how to keep it out of the place where it's being used the wrong way. Most people only hear the word perversion, they just think the word nasty. But the word perversion essentially means this. If you pervert the use of something, like the toaster, you're taking the toaster outside of its original design parameters. And this is what God's trying to say. He wants you to have a toaster that works very well, and that it works well for you. He was always in the process of trying to get people to listen and to draw close enough to him so that they can see it clear. And that's what I see in my job in regards to helping couples to see things clear, so that when they're navigating through this labyrinth we call marriage or raising their children, that they can see it clear. If you can see clear, you can navigate just about anything. Get enough light on the subject, enough magnification, you can fix just about anything.
How have you, in your practice, Ron, how have you integrated? There's a number of things that you touch on, science, psychology, sociology, philosophy, even theology. But how do you integrate that as an art?
Well, I would say that anything that you are working at, you know, you work with a material, multi-material, and as time goes on, you become more and more adept at being able to blend those things and see the truth behind them. I believe this, that no matter what field you're in, there is truth regarding. We know that Joseph, the story of the coat of many colors, was given the ability to do things that other people couldn't do. I'm sure that for him, they felt very simple. It's like telling someone what's 1 + 1, and of course the answer is 2. It doesn't seem that fantastic to the person who can see. And so for Joseph, his ability to do what might have seemed impossible to most, and that is that he was able to take the Pharaoh's order to arrange the grain sharing program to help the people during the period of the famine that they were going to be facing, and the genius that it would have required an enormous amount of sight. And so people oftentimes, I get in counseling, they're at a church, and then one of their dilemmas, they're always looking for their gift. What they're really searching for is a sense of being special. They want to know what their X-Men power is. Now, what I try to tell them is essentially, none of the gifts are actually ours. No matter what the gift might be, it's on loan from God. The ability to use it requires light. Light, you know, Jesus referred to himself as light and truth. I am the light and I am the truth. Those two terms are synonymous in one specific way. They illuminate what is actually true. And that would be no matter what field that there was. And so I believe that the Holy Spirit illuminates my path. Okay? When someone says they're a prophet, most likely they're not. Real prophets don't say that they're prophets. Other people say they're prophets. People that are really wise do not stand around saying that they're wise. Other people say they're wise. And I believe that essentially, that, you know, when you talk to someone who has the gift of prophecy, who truly has a gift, they'll often say that, you know, it's like receiving a phone call. They're just transferring the information. It doesn't seem that fantastic to them. They recognize that the information is unknown to the people they're talking to. But a person who truly is receiving the information does not tend to lean in the direction of seeing themselves as a wonder. they see God as one. And as long as their eyes are focused on serving the people around them, that the reason that they're seeking those answers are to help other people, then God continues to provide that light and those truths so that those things can be transferred to those other people. So in regards to your question, how have I merged all of them? What I would tell you is I think that God has merged them, and he tells me how to merge them, and I get the privilege of passing them on to other people. In fact, they tell my clients, when they are trying to praise me for whatever information I'm giving them, I tell them, my job is to deliver water. I didn't invent it. Mm-hmm. I had the privilege to give you water.
Mm-hmm. Heartfelt words from Ron Richard in a pre-recorded interview with him. It really was a privilege to share in that time with him. And in so doing, dear friend, to be able to share in this time with you, along with Suzanne Maurer, a moment of reflection. What is it that the Lord is saying to you in this time? How is God reminding you about him being the source of the gifts that you have? Are you using the gifts that God has given to you? Or gift. It doesn't have to be multiple, just one. The gift that God has given you to, as Ron is doing with the abilities that God has given him, to share with others, to bless others in his name. Let me pray. Father, I pray that you would reveal, if it has not already been done so, what it is that you have laid graciously as a gift in the heart of my dear friend, my dear brother and sister. They will use that gift, even as Ron Richard has, and is touching the lives of many people, especially children and families and marriages, for your glory. I commit my dear one to you now, and thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like I said before, heartfelt words from Ron Richard. And my friend, God's timing is perfect. And look, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, I believe this is the perfect moment for you, as I typically say, to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't wait. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special video set up for you there. And if you'd like to stand with us with your prayers and financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. And I thank you right now in advance. Isaiah 64, verse 8, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand." It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Ron Richard. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Nelson, and web designer Arlen Nagata. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.